Hi, this is Todd Dammit Kearns from Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators and also the Kulik Brothers Band. You are listening to Podcast Rock City.
Turn it up.
Everybody, Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Kiss Army.
And Mr. Sunny Hollywood Booty.
What's going on, Kiss Army?
That was like a King Diamond intro.
That's right.
How he had to be about two octaves higher, though.
I literally punched myself in the nuts to get there.
Nice. That's dedication.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll be coughing up blood later. Hey, welcome to Podcast Rock City. If you don't know what we are, we're an all Kiss podcast. We've been on for about 25 years now, and before the internet, before all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm lying. Mm-hmm. We've been on for about 4 or 5 years. I don't even know anymore. And podcastrockcity.com is where you can go and listen to a bunch of old shows or iTunes or whatever. You guys know. All right, so, man, there's a lot happening this week as far as Kiss news.
Podcast Rock City News.
One of the things that I saw that I thought was super important was, and I don't know if you guys saw this or maybe Sonny posted it, did Gene just mention a 3-year tour?
Oh,
like Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
I haven't read that in a couple places.
3 years on every continent.
Three years is a stretch.
Well, it just depends on how they do it, right?
Yeah, if you're talking 40 shows a year, okay. But if you're talking 150 shows a year, you're damn nuts.
They don't have it in them like they did in 96, dude. There's no way.
No, I would imagine that it's going to be just spread out over 3 years, and it's going to... I still think it'll be amazing, and, you know, we got to wait. And, you know, as I was driving home, I was talking to Karen about, you know, when I just had my Q&A with Gene Simmons, and I went... Man, I can't believe I asked him about that. I should have said, spill it on the tour. But the problem was, and if you listen to the Q&A, it's on podcastrockcity.com. He mentions the cruise and then says, and then this lady goes, how many more are you going to do? And he doesn't answer.
Hmm.
Not only does he not answer, but he moves on to something else. And I know he heard her because she was sitting right there. So for whatever reason, either he didn't hear her, which I don't think, or he maybe just doesn't want to talk about that, you know?
There's probably no definite plans yet. You know how
that's a possibility. Yeah.
Statements.
So when I heard her, in my head I went, maybe he doesn't want to talk about the tour. So I asked him the question I asked, which turned out to be surprising. But Gene was in Atlanta this past weekend. You're about to hear the story between me and my buddy Bruce, because we went at the Atlanta Vault thingy. That's right, experience. I guess that's what they call it. Hey, $2,000 for the Gene Simmons thingy. Yes. We had such a good time. I can't wait for you guys to hear the story. But there's other things. Paul is going to be in town here in Atlanta. And... for, you know, his art at the gallery. What's it? Wentworth Gallery.
Are you going down there?
I'm going to go down just to see the paintings. I'm not going to get to meet Paul. But I'm probably going to go down there in the morning Tuesday and do a live feed from there and see if there's anybody that I could talk to. Maybe there's some fans or something that'll be there that'll want to talk, you know?
There you go.
That would be pretty cool. I do want to mention, last week we did our
Platinum Part 2, 1988.
Yes, Double Platinum 2s. And we asked you guys out there if you wanted to send us your own Double Platinums. And we got a couple, so I want to read them off. Heath Negley. It says, right, here's the Double Platinum 2 track listing. I'll break it down. Let me give you the first side A, okay? I Was Made for Loving You, Is That You, Who Wants to Be Lonely, I Still Love You, and then Turn on the Night. I like that.
I like that too.
That's good.
Yeah. Side B, I Love It Loud, 2000 Man, Not for the Innocent, Tears Are Falling, Thrills in the Night, and War Machine.
Another good
side. By the way, in the Q&A that you can hear on podcastrockcity.com, Gene mentions that he played guitar on War Machine, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Side C, Heaven's on Fire, Sure Know Something, All Night, Lick It Up, and I, which are all great songs again.
Yeah, solid. Sir,
nothing really.
The only one that's been a surprise, really, is Not for the Innocent.
I don't think
any of us three had that one.
Yeah. Side D, Crazy, Crazy Nights, Fits Like a Glove, Here Comes a Little Curve, Get All You Can Take.
Love it.
I love that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Shandy, Reason to Live, and then the other curveball at the end, And on the Eighth Day.
Strong way to end it.
Yeah.
He said, a few different from yours, but also has the hits. Love your show, Heath Negley. God, I hope I didn't butcher your name. I'm sorry. But thank you, Heath. You're awesome, man.
Oh, yeah, Heath. That was a good one.
Now, if you're interested, Heath, in coming on the show with us and doing our Sweet 16 show next week,
make
sure you write us and tell us, and we'll get you on the show. Let's see. I had one more. Heath sent that one today, which was really cool. I had another one. Brad. So, let's see.
Rustoven?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Brad.
I think he went to the Peter Chris thing, too. I think I saw a picture of him.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. I'd love to hear his story.
Yeah, me too.
So he wrote out a thing and said, when I heard your topic of the week, I quickly paused the podcast and came up with my Double Platinum 2 in order to not be biased by your lists. See below. Side 1. It's amazing how this song comes up first. Side 1. I Was Made for Loving You, 88. This is his little notes. Re-recorded as it was performed live at Wembley Arena in London, UK, circa 1980, an up-tempo, heavier rock song.
Oh, yeah. That was my idea, too, man.
Yep.
Great minds think alike, Brad.
Oh, wait. It's funny that you say that. I'll let you know when we get to the end. Heaven's on Fire, Who Wants to Be Lonely, Trial by Fire, You're All That I Want.
Nice.
Yep. Side 2, Turn on the Night, Not for the Innocent, I Still Love You, Sure Know Something, and Tears Are Falling. Side 3, Charisma. I can't wait to hear that again. There's no way they don't play that at the next Rockin' Pod, right?
That's right.
Charisma, Creatures of the Night, Lick It Up, Reason to Live, Tomorrow, and I Love It Loud. Final Side 4, King of the Mountain, A World Without Heroes, Hell or High Water, which caught me off guard, All Hell's Breaking Loose, and finishes it off with I. Then there's notes at the bottom. Jody, We Must Be Separated at Birth. First thing I thought of was doing the And I Was Made for Loving You 88 version. How funny. In addition, I decided to do 21 songs as well, since I counted Rock Bottom Intro and She as two separate songs on the original Double Platinum. I had considered doing a true greatest hits from 79 to 87, but since the original Double Platinum wasn't all hits, I decided to throw some deep cuts in there as well. Love the show. As always, keep up the great work, guys. Keith Ruth, I can't say his last name. My mouth. How does that work? You do it.
Brad Rostoven?
Yes. Yeah. Brad.
Pretty sure that's how you say Keith? It.
You said Keith. Keith.
The fuck is wrong with me? I know too many Keiths. All right.
Now, did Brad do a commercial or did he puss out on the commercial?
He didn't do a commercial. Actually, here it is. Nobody did a commercial as awesome as yours. Just run Sonny's commercial now.
Mercury Polygram, in conjunction with MTV and Podcast Rock City, brings you Double Platinum 2, 1979 to 1987, by the legendary group Kiss.
I said, people, this is Paul Stanley, and I'm here to tell ya, there are limited quantities, so get up and place your order today. I said, place your order today.
With 20 amazing songs, this 4-LP set is not available in stores. For $20 each, you can get this release with your favorite current KISS member, Mosaic, on the front and back cover. Paul, Gene, Eric, and Bruce are all available. Collect all four for only $80. Also, for the low price of $40 each, you can get this amazing release with your favorite original KISS, Mosaic. Yes, Paul, Gene, Ace, and Peter in the traditional makeup on the front and back cover, and if you order today, get a bonus LP with five classics from 1974's Hotter Than Hell, remixed and reproduced by the legendary Eddie Kramer. Collect all four for only $160. But that's not all. This is Gene Simmons from KISS. To celebrate the new year 1988, if you act now and pre-order by 1988, we will ship you all eight releases for only $198.80. See what I did there? That saves you over $40. This will be the only time Gene Simmons from KISS will ever offer a discount. So don't wait and order this amazing piece of KISS-tory before they're all gone.
I said, before they're all gone.
So my wife heard that. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm thinking she'll laugh or whatever. The commercial ends and she doesn't say anything. And I'm just looking at her. She goes, what's wrong with you?
Oh, my God. The Karen comment.
I'm like, how come people keep asking me that?
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that was great. But I love how you ended the show last week, too. It's fucking great.
Yeah, that was really awesome, man. We can't beat that. So funny. before we get into the topic of the week, I want to make sure that you guys all out there are listening and follow me here. We want you to be on the show next week with us. We will Skype you in and do Sweet 16s with you. We just need to know that you're interested in coming on. So we're going to do a big push now. If you've written out a Sweet 16 or you just want to do one with us, we need you to send us a message at, PodcastRockCity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And, or you, if you're on our group page, we're going to be posting stuff about who wants to come on the show on Sunday and do a Sweet 16 with us. So if either you've written one out and you want to do it where Jody and Sonny and I, you know, pick the songs or whatever it is that you've Sweet 16'd, or you want to just be in a Sweet 16, Jody's always got them, Sonny's always got them, we can do that as well, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can just, if you want, just send the 16 songs, and I'll put them into the Sweet 16. You don't have to set up the Sweet 16. Just pick up 16 songs and just send them.
Yeah, yeah. And it could be just your favorite 16 songs. You know, Bob, you know, the janitor's Sweet 16 of my favorite songs. I want to know which one comes out as number one with you guys picking them or whatever.
Right.
And we'll do that.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. So yesterday, Bruce Hester, my buddy, and I went to the Gene Simmons Vault Experience. We had a great time. We just got off the Skype phone with Bruce. And I, you know, we told our story and we want you guys to hear it. You guys ready for that? Anything else to say?
I'd say check this out. It's pretty cool.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out. Wow, 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 ooh.
Son of a bitch. I got that one.
Oh, you guys don't do it right.
That's unbelievable.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yeah!
The trifecta is actually complete.
Absolutely. That's funny that you say that, because there was that... what was that thing in racing this past weekend?
Oh, Justify won the Triple Crown.
Triple Crown, yeah. But we're going to add a fourth. I went to the Gene Simmons vault this past weekend. My buddy Bruce. Bruce, how you doing?
Bruce, buddy.
Now, when we were on the last Kiss cruise, Bruce went and sat and watched Gene talk about the vault. He had this whole vault thing and he talked about it, and Bruce came to me. We shared a room, of course. He's laying in his bed, I'm laying in mine, just making sure you know what's up. And he goes, man, I really think I want a base, but I think I really want a vault. And I laid there for about 30 seconds and then I went,
light bulb went off.
It's true. Christina told us that if you buy a base, you get a vault for free. And you said, really? And I said, yeah. So, I mean, we're all on the boat together. So I grabbed my phone, and I just sent her a Facebook message. Hey, hey, is it too late to buy? If we buy a base, do we get a thing? And she was like, she got back to me, about a minute later?
Oh,
it was funny.
It bounced back in a heart.
Yeah, it was like she was waiting for Joe. You know, it's really weird. So, Bruce, you know, she said because he already knew the kind of bass he wanted. What was it called, Bruce?
I got that red Punisher.
Right, it had sparkle in it, right?
Yeah, what do they call it? Sparkled. I can't think of the name of it right
it's
now.
Not the tie-dye. Exact it's not color, the tie-dye. Yeah.
No,
it's a glitter. No, no, it's no. Anyway, it's like a glitter sparkle kind of thing. Really nice bass. And, you know, so Bruce got it, and then he went and he did the master class, which was amazing to watch. You know, there was probably, maybe 20 people doing the master class, and they wrote a song, and this guy sang it. That was interesting. And and so here we are, this many months later, 6-7 months later, the vault finally comes to Atlanta, and Bruce is like, you're gonna go with me, right? And at first I was like, man, you know, it might be cool if you took somebody else. And then you were like, well, you're my first choice. And I was like, all right,
I'm in.
Let's go. We'll do this. So we waited all the time, and then finally got here, and they held it. What was the name of the studio?
Tree Sound
Studios,
right?
And
out in Norcross, which is out off of 285 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, for people.
Right. Yeah. So it's basically Atlanta has this highway that goes around it in a complete circle. You could literally get on it and drive around Atlanta endlessly.
Yeah.
You'd never get off of it. As a matter of fact, there's a famous story about a baseball player, Pascual Perez.
Perimeter
Perez, who was driving to a Braves game, never got off the highway.
He was looking
the game,
the stadium, and he drove around 285 for hours. And the stadium is not on 285.
So, all right. So that's not, so we. It was out there, and it was super nice. Gene even brought up the fact that it's one of the last like analog. You know, they use a board. You know, and walking around this place, you see all the records that they've cut. You know, everything from the Beastie Boys to Beyonce,
Usher, Taylor Swift.
I mean, Backstreet Boys. They got all the gold and platinum everywhere. The studio was the kind of studio you dream about going into if you're a musician. And obviously, Gene knew all about it. You know. Anyway, so we get there and we had to park a little ways away because when I pulled, I got there before Bruce, and the valet people weren't there yet. So I parked at, there's actually a little park around there, and I parked at the park. And then Bruce pulled in. We grabbed our stuff. We walked to the studio. We got in line. And just started talking to people, you know, and it was really cool. You know, it's really funny because everybody that I meet in these lines, they're all alike, right, Bruce? They buy basses, they buy guitars, they buy the vault. Yep.
Multiples of them. You know, we were talking to a guy, four basses, and I think he's got plans to buy another. He has a couple of Paul Stanley guitars, or else he's getting the cracked mirror or the purple Paul Stanley guitar this next year.
Yeah,
he originally bought one axe bass, and he's up. This is it. Until he saw his next bass, and then he had to have it, and then the next one, and the next one. Some people are just over the top.
Yeah, and it's really crazy because you just meet these people, and most of them have been on the cruise. The people behind us, there's two guys behind us, came from North Carolina.
Yes.
And they, this was their first time meeting Gene, and they were super stoked, man. And they were dressed to the nines. They had suits on, and they were ready to go, you know? Cool. And they were really excited. I only got to talk to them for a minute afterwards, after they got their vault. But so they come out, and they're, checking everybody in. They check Bruce in. They check me in. I'm standing there holding my buddy Doug's ukulele because we want to get the ukulele signed. And because Doug has played the ukulele on every cruise that he's been on. He sits on his balcony and he plays the ukulele. And he's really good at it. And he sings like he's the best singer in the world. And he can't sing. But he has no fear, okay? And the lady walks up to me and looks me dead in the face and goes, "He ain't going to sign that."
Why?
He does not sign instruments.
They made it clear that he wouldn't sign clothing or musical instruments.
Clothing?
That's what he said.
All right. I think the reason why he doesn't sign clothing is because my buddy Doug, same guy, took his shirt off in the room with him when we were in his suite, and now he's like, "All right, just tell people I don't sign clothes anymore." Thank you, Doug. You screwed it up for everybody.
And I understand the musical instrument thing. If it's a bass, a guitar, I guess you could even go as far as say a keyboard of some sort, because you might end up having a exclusive with a certain brand. But he's gonna, you know, put out a line of ukuleles? Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I thought about maybe trying to get the case signed, and when I was standing in line before we went in to meet him, they said something about that again, and I was like, okay, I'll just put this down here, and they told me it was a safe place, and they kept an eye on it for me. So they let us in. They put us in this like stage area. There's a stage. It's not real big, but it's a nice little area. It's got bar tables or whatever, and there's like a bartender, and he's what were the names of the drinks? Did you see those, Bruce?
One was Gene and Juice, right? Svedka vodka and lemonade, and then they had a brown derby, which was some sort of bourbon and lemonade. I can't remember exactly the name of the bourbon that. And then they had a. What was it? They had another one in a vat. They had these vats with little spigots on them. It was self-serve. They had all the drinks you wanted. They had coolers full of beer, and they had soft drinks, lemonade, and waters. And then later they actually put out a ripping buffet and stuff.
Yeah. So and we'll get to that. We're all sitting there, and it's packed and I looked at Bruce and I was like, man, are we doing the Q&A in here? This is tight, you know? And we start to notice that some people are moving over. Eric Alberti was there with his beautiful daughters and a friend of his. And they gave up their table. And Bruce and I were like, all right, let's go on over here. We took the table. But we didn't realize they were moving to a specific spot. So when we moved to the next room, they could be in the front. Okay?
Right.
Now, me, I'm the type of person where I don't have to be close. As long as I can see and hear, I'm happy, you know?
Right.
But, you know, this is a big experience for people, you know? Like Eric, you know, he spent a few thousand bucks and he had to drive down from Ohio. And, you know, so that kind of, you know, I get why he wants to be close. So they finally let everybody in and we go in and there's another area that's all set up, chairs. You know, they didn't have enough for everybody, but they had a lot, you know, that we probably used up every chair.
Yeah, and then some. Yeah, there were people standing around behind even.
In the studio.
So how many people would you guys say were there?
Easily over 100.
Yeah, I would say that, definitely. It was most, you know, they had, I think, 50 vault people, right, or close to it. Plus, everybody had at least one guest, and some people had their kids even.
Wow. Yeah.
To add a few more, 8 or 10 or 12 staff members, you know, not only Gene Simmons vault staff, but then the studio staff as well.
Right.
Right. And I wasn't aware of this until just recently, but you're allowed to bring one guest and your kids. Did you know that, Sonny?
I didn't know that, but my kids wouldn't have been able to come anyway.
I get that, but I had not heard that. And then when Eric told me that he was bringing both his daughters and he had a friend going with him, I was like, oh man, how's he getting three people in? And so I asked him and he told me you could bring your kids. I was like, that is pretty cool.
That is,
you
cool.
know, that's pretty cool. So, anyway, so I wish we would have known that because we could have brought Jace and got more autographs.
True.
But it's okay. I'd have been like, there's no way Bruce could have been, he could have been passed off as Bruce's kid because he looks so much damn like me. poor guy. So we go into this room. Keith Valcourt comes out, says his, you know, his thing. I didn't get a chance to talk to Keith. I really wanted to, but he's a busy bee, you know, and, I didn't want to bother him, man. You can see he runs around for everybody. And so he comes up there and he says, listen, if you have any problems, tell us. You know, he goes, if there's something wrong with your vault, if there's something wrong with this, if there, anything's wrong, if there's something wrong with your sandwich, tell us. He goes, don't wait 3 days and then put it on, you know, Facebook or whatever. And he's totally right. He's totally right.
Absolutely.
And then
they really do go out of their way to make it a special day for everybody. They really try hard. I give them that.
Yeah, absolutely was. So he gets done, and then he. Now, did they do the boot before, or they waited for Gene?
They look like they did the boot before on the video.
Before, right? Okay, so Keith said there's a vault there, and it's got a Gene boot replica shell on top of it, and Keith mentions that they took everybody's name that bought a vault, and they were going to draw a name, and they drew the name, and the lady that won it was that was awesome. She looked so excited. She was right off to the right of us. And it was really cool, you know?
Yes.
Now, somebody told me that at the one where in Vegas, they raffled off, well, I guess it's a raffle or whatever, but they did a Gene Simmons stand-up for his new soda. And somebody messaged me about that they won it, which was really cool.
Right on.
Hi, it's Gene Simmons. You're listening to Podcast Rock City, but you knew that.
So then he starts
hey, let's get it going on, everybody. Gene Simmons. And Gene comes in. And, of course, everybody's, you know, he turns around, he looks, and Gene's going, wow. There's, you know, like, he's surprised how many people are there. I mean, I wasn't. You know, it seemed like exactly what I expected. Right. You know, it was kind of, there were, it felt like a lot of little ones, a lot of little kids. There was even a baby next to you, Bruce, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there sure was.
At one point, the baby made a little.
He or she did not stay the entire time. He took off.
Yeah, the baby made.
Mama took him out of the room.
Yeah, there was like a squeak. Baby made like a squeaking noise, and Gene was like, "Oh!" And then they held up the baby. You know, it was pretty pretty interesting. So Gene comes in and sits down and starts, you know, talking. Yeah, he talks about all kinds of stuff in these things. You'd think he would stick with the vault, and it's mostly the vault, 89%, you know. And, you know, 10% is, you know, chit-chat, you know, where he's just BSing. And he tells this story about going to Canada with his wife. Did you catch that, Sonny? You watched the whole Q&A?
Yeah, she was born there.
Yeah. What was the name of the place?
Dildo.
Dildo.
He told the exact same story with the names of all those cities with that interview with Andrew, the Australian guy. Andrew, yeah. What's his name that was on YouTube?
Yeah, Denton. Yeah, she's
from exactly.
Dildo, Canada. She went to Dildo High School. They ate a Dildo burger at the Dildo restaurant. That was, and the chef was Captain Dildo or something. I'm like, dude, stop saying Dildo.
Yeah. He was like, I swear on my kids, this is true. It was so funny. He just starts doing, basically how to write a song. Wouldn't you say that was basically what it was, Bruce?
Yeah, he talked about how he, you know, when he first started learning a few chords on guitar, 13, 14. 15 years old, and he would watch George Harrison, make chord shapes on television, and he would say, huh, that's not so hard, I can do that, and he'd strum a couple of chords, and then he would go into how there are hundreds of thousands of songs that are all written with the same three chords, and, you know, he showed some examples of that, and how then he would take those chords and did that first song, My Uncle Is a Raft, that hit, you know, everybody, you know, 15 times on YouTube, because I guess he does it at every vault experience. But then he would, you know, play a Beatles riff or something, and then he would morph it into what would become maybe one of his songs or Kiss song or something. It was really interesting the way he, you know, he came out and he said, he goes, everything I've practically ever done is just ripped off from somebody else.
Yeah, it was really funny. The one thing that, you know, this is, you know, we've all sat in during these vaults, and I think there's one thing that I absolutely, totally realized, especially after this time, and we'll get into why in a little bit, but he is just a sponge of knowledge. You know, Sonny, wouldn't you say that too? When, like, he just knows about everything.
Yeah, you know, he was a teacher by trade, first of all, right? And then
sure.
I think he just liked information because he came to a country that he wasn't born in. So it was always like gathering this information. And then he likes sharing information. I think that whole thing he did with, give me a line of anything and I'll make a blue song out of it, and then just goes and starts playing. That's so cool. Like, you just don't get that from people.
No, it's true. And, you know, he was just great. I was very happy with how it went. He did that whole thing. He started talking about how he would take one person wrote a song, another person used the same chords for a song, and then he showed how he, in fact, used those chords in a song. The Q&A I'm going to put up on podcastrockcity.com on the audio page. So if you get a chance and you want to go over and listen to it, you can. Some of the highlights for me We'll let Bruce say the ones for him. For me, it was him talking about Paul and writing with Paul and how, well, basically he said, he did say one thing that kind of caught me off guard because I haven't watched a lot of the other interviews and Q&As where he said, you know how many songs Paul helped me write that I was cutting down? One. He said one song he ever, you know, came over to try to, you know, help with. So he talked, another highlight was when he talked about Paul and how he'll write a song and then he goes, what's my part? And Paul goes,
that was a funny one.
Take me. And he goes, how about, could it be take me? And he goes, like, no, you're like, take me.
You're not taking me. I'm taking you.
Yes. And he goes, I don't understand. You know, I get these, I'm covered in blood. I'm the demon. And all of a sudden I'm going, take me. He goes, and then he has another one. And he goes, he's singing this part to me. And he goes, what's my part? And he goes, oh, your part is. Do, 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 do. And he goes, No, how about? Do, 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 do. And he goes, no. And he razzed on Paul a bit, which was fun, you know, because you can see how much, I believe you can see how much he loves Paul. You know, it was.
Oh, pretty... yeah, I think they've got enormous respect for each other. And, you know, it's like, I think he's quoted, been quoted as saying they tend to stay out of each other's way and they don't step on each other's toes, but that's made for a successful partnership for 45 years. He's very, very plain to say that they have a very mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, now that you think about it a little bit, Gene has probably never had Paul do backing vocals that made him feel weird, but Paul has done it to Gene tons of times.
I can't think of anything. He, you know, but there were so many other things, and
you
like
could,
I
you
said,
know, he got real emotional talking about his
mom. Right, tell that story, and, Bruce.
Well, you know, he would talk about how when he first came to the U.S. and saw television. He'd never seen a television before, but when they finally got one, and how the television broadcast would go off at night, the station be shutting down or whatever, and there might be a rocket ship or some sort of like that, and then the American flag would come, and his mother would always just stop and stare and basically show respect for that flag. And then in that same dialogue back and forth is how he made a comment about the NFL, and you know, he goes, we have to respect our flag. He says, people, and he went on about the military and servicemen and firefighters and first responders, and he said it's just so important to show these people respect, especially the military who have died for this flag, and to disrespect it is to disrespect this country, and this country's the greatest place on earth. There's not 11 million immigrants, you know, every year wanting to go to other countries. They're wanting to come here, and he's very much a red, white, and blue
through and
American
through
citizen now, and he will tell you all about it.
Yeah, and the other thing was that when he was talking about the TV going off the air, he said that his mother. Oh, let me tell you, if you get a chance to listen to the, it's close to the end. He got choked up hardcore. He had to stop two or three times. He couldn't, because he was talking about how his mother would shush him up if he was talking, and she would cry. You know, and he said she wasn't
crying. When
they would
play the anthem or something like that.
Yeah, because she was unhappy. She was just so grateful, you know, and that was pretty deep, man. That got deep. Then they opened it up. They did open it up for questions. I did get to ask a question. There were lots of questions, but I asked, I really wanted to pull something out of the blue. Like, I was thinking, what can I ask him that I don't know if anybody's ever asked him before? And I finally asked him, hey, what does the blood taste like? And he said it tastes like shit. That's just... He said they make it in the morning. It has eggs. It has yogurt. Yeah. It has molasses in it. It has red dye food coloring in it. And he goes, and that stuff sits around all day until they pour it into my mouth. And I go out there, and he goes, and it tastes terrible while I'm sitting there.
He says, you see, you know that face I'm making is because this stuff is so gross, I'm about to vomit. Literally vomit.
So it was really funny, because after the thing was over, Eric Alberti walked over to me, he goes, that was a great question. I never thought to ask him, what does the blood taste like? I was like, you'd think they put some peppermint or something in there to... It might just make it worse. So anyway, like I said, go to podcastrockcity.com. The whole thing is on there. Because I really want to get to the food and everything else that was going on. He basically says, thank you very much. The Q&A was over. And we all go back into that original holding pen. It's like a cattle room, you know. But they've got drinks and everything. And food's being served. You can, like a few people at a time were going and getting food. The food was all Southern comfort food. So
homemade
fried chicken. Like a brown rice almost, with, you know, it was cookies, mac and cheese, like Southern mac and cheese, not that shit you get out of a box. It was real cheese with a cheese coating on the top that was browns, you know.
Right.
So good. The food was spectacular, and the best part was it was made by one of the owners
of Tree Sound.
Of Tree Studio. Sound Studios. So they have a kitchen there, and I guess they cook a lot. Now, also in that kitchen, they had about four or five pinball machines, and yes, one of them was a old KISS pinball machine, and apparently Gene signed it as well, which is really awesome. So we get our food, and we go back into the waiting room, you know, that we're at. And we're just chilling, and they're calling people. And we're meeting all kinds of people. We met a couple. When we sat at our table, we met a couple. And they were really super cool. And the guy looks at me and goes, you live here? And I go, he asked Bruce and I, you know anybody that we want to go to see Slayer? He goes, I have season tickets or passes to the place they're playing, but I don't want to go see Slayer. And I told him I had a couple students that I thought would go see. He took my name and number. And he's going to give me a ring when it gets close. I guess we're going to hook up my students, which is cool.
Yeah, totally.
And then we talked to... I met this guy, Chris, again, who lives in Miami. I met him 2 years ago on the KISS cruise. We were standing in line to go in and see the dives on the last night. And we became friends real quick, and then... he was standing in the room, and he walked over and he started talking to me, and I don't know, man, for some reason I just remembered him, and I'm not real great at that, you know, but as soon as he described where we were, I was like, yes, I remember. And I started telling him what we were doing, and he was blown away. Now, he's not coming on the KISS cruise this year because he's doing the Jericho cruise, which, by the way, I think is going to be awesome as well. But, I talked to him. He's digging our show. He said he loves our show so much, he's decided that he wants to start trying to do his own podcast. I told him, great. It's so much fun. Get into it and go. You know, I gave him a few tips. There was everybody, man, it was very friendly. I was standing in line and somebody started talking to me about our show. They recognized my voice and we started talking, and then they wanted a picture, and it was really cool. We did a picture holding our food. It was pretty funny. Then Bruce was number 19. They called his number, right, Bruce?
Yes, sir.
So they bring us into this waiting room, or it's like a hallway. and we're just waiting for our turn to go in. So Keith comes out. Finally, it's our turn. He takes our stuff that needs to be signed. He takes my phone, my camera, you know, and goes. We follow. We walk in. I fist bump Gene. Well, Bruce fist bumps Gene. Gene turns to me and fist bumps me and then looks at me and goes, "Podcast Rock City." I was wearing a shirt. And Bruce goes, "Have you heard of it?" And he goes, "Of course I have." And then he goes, "Do you listen?" And he goes, "Of course I do. I have so much free time." So he's standing over, they start putting all our stuff on top of the vault, and Gene starts signing it. And Bruce and I are standing there, and I just decided, all right, I'm going to go. So I started telling him about how I was listening to his book one day, and I heard him talking. Yes, exactly. And how he said that when he was a kid, he loved comic books and movies. And I told him, I said, that same day, I went into like this thrift store type place. And sure enough, one of the things you were talking about was in there. So I bought it. And then I wanted to bring it here to you and give it to you. And he looked at me and he goes, "Does it tick?"
And he immediately went ahead and opened it out of the cellophane cover.
Yeah, I brought
pulled
him
it a, out, started flipping through it.
Yeah, it was a Gorgo comic book, which was a British ripoff of Godzilla. And it was from the 60s. The price on it was like 12 cents. And the comic book probably cost me $5. But I knew it. It was funny because it was all on the same day. He looked at it and he went, "Gorgo." And he picked it up. He opened it up immediately. And this is where my mind was blown. He started talking about that he knew the name of the artist. He knew what the artist created. He knew everything about the artist. He even mentioned that the artist did not do the cover. He knew all this before he even looked at it because you know how much he was into comics. And he said that the artist was terrible at drawing hands, and he's flipping through and he's showing me, "Look at his hands." It was just really, really crazy. But he looked at that. They took a lot of pictures of him looking through that comic book. And I'm sure that it's going to be on the vault, you know, thing. So hopefully we'll get pictures of him.
Yeah, those pictures ought to be up in a few days, they said.
Yeah, looking at the comic. And he handed it to Keith, and Keith put it over on the side for him. And he said, "Thank you." And then I took a step back, and then I let Bruce do his thing. Bruce, go.
So, you know, he first took all of our stuff. I had a cap I was going to get him to sign, and then Joe brought me a Cool Gene poster, and then of course Joe had his solo album cover and box set. Yeah, and the box set, the guitar case looking box set. So Keith first he took the poster and rolled it out on top of the vault, and Gene signed that. He signed the cap, and you know, Keith was basically orchestrating, handed him stuff to sign while he was still talking to us, and you know, talking about did you get some of the cookies in the buffet downstairs or you know, in the other room where the food was set up, and you know, aren't they great? And I have to steer my way away from those things because I'm always on a diet and I shouldn't be eating them anyway. But they're so great. They're like they're my crack. I can't pass them up. And so he was going on back and forth about how much he loves cake and cookies and sweet tooth, you know. But anyway, he was signing that stuff, and then he wanted to know what to write on my vault. And I'd written out several quotes on the notes of my phone, and I pulled up the one that I decided on, and he went ahead and wrote that out. And
what? Now tell everybody what it said. Yeah, now everybody out there listening, Bruce is a dentist.
So I'm a dentist.
That's
his,
that's what he does for a living. He said, he asked me a few days ago, what am I going to put on my vault? I sent him, I gather darkness to please me, and I command you to kneel before the God of thunder and rock and roll, right?
That's what
I said. Now, Bruce sent me a bunch of quotes, And I said to him, the last one, that's the one that you have to have him put on there. And I will tell you that he laughed while he was writing it. What was it, Bruce?
Yeah, he did. So I'm a dentist, and everybody calls me at my office. They call me Dr. Bruce. So I said to Dr. Bruce, and I, you know, he wrote all this out to Dr. Bruce. And I said, from one doctor to another, keep on drilling. And he laughed when he chuckled when he wrote that. He goes, what do you mean by drilling there? And I said, what do you think I mean? He goes, we might better just keep that to ourselves.
I was like, oh my God, keep on drilling. That is awesome.
So anyway, there's a picture of that. I put it on Facebook on the PRC page. So
yeah,
you can see what the vault looks like now.
Awesome. So we did, he talked to us for about a minute more. We walked over, they took some pictures, he fist bumped us, and then we left, and that was that. However, so I have all my solo albums signed now, right? Gene was, Gary, our friend Gary, London, Ontario, I think, to meet Peter. So he has my Peter, that sounds terrible. He has my Peter solo album. Damn it. Sorry, Gary. And
he's holding it tightly, though.
He's holding my Peter tightly. Damn it. I screwed this all up. I'm sorry, Peter. And I'm going to get jabbed. I'm going to get like totally messed for that one. All right. And then so he got Peter for me. And by the way, this is super important. I will read his message that came for me the night before we went to me. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure because where's Gary's? Gary, there's Gary Cap. It says, you guys are going to die when you hear this. I think this is it. Just got home from London. Got your album signed. Good thing. Blah, blah, blah. I asked him to do a bumper, but he said, I don't do them.
I don't. Do
bumpers. I don't do bumpers.
I don't do bumpers.
I don't do bumpers.
So Gary, good try, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
We love you for trying, man. So all right, so Gene signs my solo album. I'm walking out the door and they hand me my solo album, and however they took it away, they smudged it.
Oh no.
The autograph is smudged, like bad, right in the middle. And as I'm walking out the door, I looked at the one guy and I go, man, my autograph smudged. And he goes, I guess I'm just gonna live with it. And he goes, hold on. He goes, give it to me. Let me take it back in. And he goes, let me see what I can do. So he went in, he came out maybe 10 minutes later, and Gene signed it on the again. So now I'm standing there with a guy talking to him about what had happened, and he's a big Kiss fan. He's helping Bruce pack up his, you know, his vault. And he says to me, don't remove the other autograph. It's a story now, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
He goes, it's a story now. Now it's not just my autograph got smudged. It's my autograph got smudged. They took it back in, and Gene re-signed it, you know?
Yeah,
and I have to say, the second autograph is cleaner looking. It's not as bright, but it's cleaner looking, you know?
Right.
So it's going to drive me crazy anyway, but fuck it. Who cares? My Gene Simmons solo album now has two autographs. And if anybody asks me, why is there two? I'll be able to go, well, you know, tell yeah. this whole story about how Gene took care of me. And yeah.
Yeah.
Then we packed up. We packed up. We got Bruce got the. Now, Bruce drives a Hellcat. Okay. So I didn't ever a million years expect that vault to fit in the trunk, but you could put five or six dead bodies in there easy. And I was surprised by that. So we put that in there and all my stuff. And Bruce is like, come on, I'll drive you. Because he went and got his car. He goes, I'll drive you back. So Bruce has got a heavy foot for about 50 yards. 50 yards. He stepped on that gap. Oh, how many horsepower is that thing?
707.
707 horsepower. He steps on the gas, and I could literally, first of all, my head stuck to the seat.
He's pulling G-forces and shit.
It was like going down the roller coaster for, you know, like in a loop. And the worst part about it is, after we got done fishtailing, he looks at me and goes, "Broke loose there, that southern boy." Did you hear it? You felt it come loose? I was like, I saw my soul leave my body, dude. I was watching the car from outside. It's like, because if anybody will tell you, I don't go fast. Certainly not in the car I drive now, and not ever. My friends always say, Joe drives so slow, bugs have time to get out of the way. It's a true statement. And he stepped on the gas. I swear to God, I felt my insides stick to my spine. As quick as quick could be. And he only stomped on it for maybe 3 seconds. But we went 80 yards in that 3 seconds. Never in my life. We get to the, he drops me off at my car, and we went about our, we were going to go to the, there was a Kiss tribute band in town, but they didn't go on until 10:30 at night, and I was just tired. I had a recital today, but we had a great time. Bruce, I want to thank you again for taking me. I love you, man. You know,
I love you, and I enjoyed you being there with me, buddy. I was tickled for you to share it with me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We have so much fun together. Bruce and I have now been on, like, I don't know, we've been on 3 or 4 cruises now, or 3? I don't know.
Yeah, four, five, six. We've been on 3 together, and we've been to a whole lot of bands, you know.
Yeah,
tribute bands, and yeah,
and we have been a good time.
To a couple of expos together.
That's right. You came to Indy, and then and we're going to be going down in Atlanta, and we're going to be and we're going to be going down to the Gathering in Miami, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So you know, we had a great time. That's pretty much our story.
Yeah, but dude, I got one question for you. You know how we're always talking about if you went to the vault and it didn't have, like, Ace or Bruce or Paul or someone, would you be disappointed? So, like, were you guys disappointed?
At the beginning, I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie. Oh, man, they got Ace here and Ace there and Vinny, and they got, I don't really want to hear Vinny, but they got, like, because I don't really know any of his stories anyway. And
we
then,
were wondering if they weren't going to bring Paul in, since he's going to be in town, you know,
this weekend.
But
this weekend coming up.
No Paul yet. So.
No, yeah. But, you know, getting to hear Gene tell his stories the way he did was perfect. I didn't need anything else.
Nope. He was great.
He was great. It was great. I don't think or know if Keith Valcourt or any of those people are going to listen to this, but you guys did a wonderful job. I think I haven't heard anybody complain. From Sonny never had a complaint. Jody didn't have a complaint. I don't have a complaint. We had a great time. And, of course, Bruce doesn't have a complaint. It was super spectacular. And I want to thank you guys for doing, you know, such a good job. The food, my God. I mean, I had to fight myself for going in for seconds. And they had everything, man. They had health food, too, which, of course, I stayed away from. But they had, like, turkey spaghetti and stuff like that, and something spinach and fruit, which, by the way, I don't eat fruit because it's good for you. And then, so it was awesome. That was our Gene Simmons vault experience.
Right on.
Hey, during the Q&A thing, he was playing a song, and somebody yelled, "Earth Angel." Was that you?
It was me.
Okay, I was wondering. I'm like, that sounded like Joe.
Yeah, it was me. He said he started playing chords, and he said, "Anybody recognize this?" And I said, "Earth Angel." And he said, "That's right." As I was saying it, I'm not joking. As I was saying it, I heard an inner voice go, "Fucking A, don't be wrong." I'm not kidding. I was so worried because I was like, he may be trying to trick me. You know, but Bruce, I asked him later. He knew what it was too. So I just think big mouth.
That would have been hilarious. No, sir, that was rock and roll all night.
Yeah. How the fuck, what's wrong with you, dude? I've been like so embarrassed. I'd have been like, I'd have walked up to the front and turned in my guy card, and it was a disaster. Anyway, Bruce, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate letting me come on with you tonight.
Absolutely. So, with that, we're at the end of our show. We appreciate you. Don't forget, podcastrockcity.com. You could go there and you could get T-shirts that Jody designed, and our friend Kevin, he designed one or two on there too, right?
Yeah.
That's at the Redbubble. There's a link. Click on it. Go order a T-shirt. Podcastrockcity.com. And you can listen to the, I would say, 99.999%. I did miss them introducing Gene. I was pissed off about it, but what can you do? It came quick, and that's what she said. And so, Jody, do you have anything to add?
I would add, hey, Bruce, it was so cool to have you back on the show. And
hey.
Yeah, man, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, buddy.
Hell yeah,
buddy.
Sonny.
So next week we are doing a Sweet 16 episode, so... Fans out there, if you're interested in doing a Sweet 16, send us your 16 songs, and we will try to get you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you just want to do one with us, we can do that as well. So just shoot us an email, podcastrockcity1.
Es el número uno.
Thank you. At gmail.com. You've been waiting on that. You're killing me.
I like when Sonny's off the chain.
He's off the chain. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. Bruce, you got anything to add?
Thank you for having me on, and I enjoyed it this weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. And you guys know what I'm going to say. We listen to podcasts, and we love KISS podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this. In 3, 2, 1,
peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcasted, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hi, I'm Bill Algy.
And I'm Dennis Talbot.
And I'm Alan Tate. And we're the Ages of Rock podcast.
Hey, we want to thank our friends at Podcast Rock City for the shout-out. Our show has great guests and a variety of topics. We've been told our interviews feel like guys sitting in a bar. So kick back and check us out at agesofrock.com.
Woohoo!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.